Deuteronomy 28, verse 47. Moreover, all these curses, this is God speaking to Israel before they were to enter the promised land. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed. I mean, what a word, right? Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you, and they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder on your descendants forever. Listen to verse 47 here. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Okay, I'm going to read that one more time. Why are they going to be taken into captivity? Why are they going to be destroyed? Why are they going to be put out of the land? Why will they be a bad sign and wonder for the nations? Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you will not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which does not respect the elderly nor show favor to the young, and they shall eat the increase of your livestock and the produce of your land until you are destroyed. They shall not leave you grain or new wine or oil or the increase of your cattle or the offspring of your flocks until they have destroyed you. So this is the negative side of the blessings and curses, and this is going to be the result if they do not obey the Lord. In particular, if they do not serve him with joy and gladness for the abundance of everything. And what happens, if you know the history of Israel, is this is exactly what happened to them. They didn't serve the Lord with joy and gladness for the abundance of everything, and they started serving other gods, and they fell away from the law of God, and they treated people unjustly, and God took them out of the land. Amen. Because of those things, they didn't serve the Lord with joy and gladness for the abundance of everything. They worshiped idol gods and broke the commandments, and they didn't treat people justly. Because of those things, God took them out of the land. Okay? But I want to center in on this term in the original language here in verse 47, the term joy. Joy. The term joy is important here. It specifically speaks of joy in festivity or in celebration. If you look at this term and trace it through the Hebrew Bible, it's used with joy, with singing music and singing to music and playing tambourines and playing the lute, such as when Solomon was anointed king, or other times when David returned after defeating Israel's enemies. The women of Israel came out dancing with tambourines and shouting and praising David for his victories and how much greater his victories were than Saul's. And this was the use of this term joy. It was in celebration and in festivity, basically. Joy of heart. Joy of heart. It's even used in the Old Testament as prosperity. The term joy is translated prosperity at some scriptures in the Old Testament. Isn't that interesting? That joy is translated as prosperity. So here's the connection I want to make. That joy is birthed in us as believers. God sends his Spirit into our lives and we receive the Holy Spirit. And part of the fruit of the Spirit is joy that comes out. Joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So Christians should be joyful people. We should have a lot of joy. Even when we don't feel it, we can always tap into that reservoir that's in our heart of joy. Amen? C.S. Lewis said, joy is the serious business of heaven. It's heaven is about joy. The kingdom of heaven on earth is about joy. St. Francis said the safest remedy against the thousand snares and wiles of the enemy is spiritual joy. So we should be joyful people. And there's a connection I want to make today between joy and thankfulness. Between joy and thankfulness. It's been said that thankfulness is a response to a certain event in your life that you're thankful for, but gratitude is a general appreciation of life. I believe the two actually converge in Scripture, that thankfulness for a believer becomes more of an attitude and a lifestyle. It becomes a way of looking at things, and it connects to the reservoir of joy in our hearts. So thankful people are always joyful people. I'm going to say it one more time. Thankful people are always joyful people. It doesn't mean that their lives are stress-free. It doesn't mean they have an absence of all problems. It just means they've learned the art of thankfulness. That is gratitude. A Benedictine monk once said, gratitude, to live in gratitude, is to receive every moment as a gift. To receive every moment as a gift. It's the ability to find the blessing even in the worst situations, realizing that even challenges help us grow and make us who we are. And then gratitude involves seeing abundance everywhere. It shifts us from that scarcity mentality. It shifts us from that mentality of competing with others all the time. It takes us out of that realm of not believing there are enough resources in the world to go around for everybody. And it takes us into a realm of abundance. When you're grateful, fear disappears and abundance appears in your life. You start appreciating everything you have. And when you start appreciating everything you have and all that the world offers, it somehow becomes like a law of attraction in your life and starts, I believe, bringing good things your way. Is anybody here this morning? I'm laying the foundation and framework. Let me dig a little bit deeper. Can you say, go ahead and dig? Hallelujah. One lady wrote an article in Inc. magazine back in 2015 named Jessica Stillman, and she looked at the study Professor Hoag did on the power of gratitude. And listen to this. Gratitude grounds you in the present. It grounds you in the present because you have less time to worry about the future and regretting the past. You're thankful for the now. You're thankful for the now. The man said, try it right now. Stop and think about something that is making this very moment worth living. And then gratefulness becomes the fuel to our inner energy. Second thing is gratefulness or gratitude makes you happy. In their study, they found that happiness levels increased by 25% for those who were grateful. How many would love to be happier? Hallelujah. I'm giving you the keys. Gratitude also strengthens relationships. Why? Because people like to be appreciated, and everyone likes a person who shows appreciation or is grateful. Gratitude, even they found, makes you healthier. According to this professor, scientific evidence proves that grateful people are not only resilient in the face of adversity, they're also physically healthier. Hallelujah. Gratefulness also makes your brain work better. In studies after 8 weeks of practice, brain scans of individuals who practice gratitude have stronger brain structure for social cognition and empathy, as well as the part of the brain that processes reward. So look at your neighbor and say, you better get grateful. What does the Bible have to say about gratefulness or thanksgiving? Colossians 2:6, Paul said, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So the Christian life is abounding or overflowing with thanksgiving. Being thankful. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thankfulness is a powerful force in your life. Gratitude is a powerful force. Psalm 118, verse 24, this is the day the Lord has made. Come on, we will and be glad. We're thankful for this day. 1 Chronicles 29, now therefore David said before he instituted Solomon as his one who would carry on his kingship, he said, now therefore, O God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. And this is a beautiful passage of thanksgiving that David had at the end of his life. Even though he had been through more than most people have ever lived through, ups and downs and slings and arrows and failures and triumphs, at the end of his life he could stand before the congregation of Israel and give God thanks. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5:18, Paul says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. Could we just lift our hands and do a little thanksgiving exercise right now and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, one more time. I thank you, Lord. Somebody shout amen. I'm going to give you four commands for living a thankful life. Are you ready? Four commands for living a thankful life. Number one, focus on the goodness of God. Focus on the goodness of God. Focus on the goodness of God. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. Rejoice. He didn't say rejoice only when things go perfectly as you hope they would go, or rejoice when all the planets align and the buoys line up. No, he said rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Always in the Greek means always. And without ceasing in the original language means without ceasing. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It doesn't say in this text, give thanks for everything. I think it's interesting. He says, give thanks in everything. Dana and I were flying this summer. We were flying from the Northeast to the Midwest, or to Tennessee, rather. And I had a small time frame because I had to get there and preach and then come back to Elizabeth City. And so we got to Washington, D.C. And when we got there, our flight was canceled. And then they kept getting canceled until we had to catch an Uber to take us, or a shuttle bus or something to take us to a hotel to spend the night so we'd come back the next day. And we had no change of clothes, no toothbrush, nothing like that. I wasn't particularly thankful for what I was going through. But I was thankful in what I was going through. Amen? I'm going to say that again. I wasn't thankful for it, but I was thankful in it. Does that make sense? F.F. Bruce said, thanksgiving is closely associated with prayer. Notice what Paul said here. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. It's connected to prayer. And so we're to be praying always, and we're to be thankful in every circumstance or every situation. So we have a prayer in our heart at all times, and we're to develop this attitude, this practice, this discipline of being thankful at all times. And we know we have the reservoir of joy down in our spirit that we can tap into. Amen. And it really shifts one's prayer life when you move from just asking in a state of constant need all the time to when you shift your prayer life to a state of thanksgiving. It's a powerful shift in prayer. When you can go, and we have needs, all of us have needs, and all of us pray about our needs, or should be. But I'm telling you, it's a powerful shift when you flip the switch and move from I'm just begging God to help to I'm thanking Him in the midst of my need, and I'm giving Him praise for what He's doing right now and how He is working in my life. And the whole faith concept has really changed my prayer life over the past few years, because I stopped and I used to just be like, God, would you please, you know, rule the universe today? Well, He's already doing that. Or God, would you please be with me today? Well, He already promised me, Matthew 28, that He would be with me. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And so I stopped praying some of the things I was praying before, and I started thanking Him for some of the revelation I already understand that is happening in my life right now. Lord, I know things, I can't see the end of this, but I'm going to thank you right now because I know you're already moving in my life. I know you're working, God, even through all this bad stuff. You're working something, and you're going to turn the bad around for my good. I do know that. And even what the enemy comes to try to do to me, you will turn it around for my good in the end, because that's what you do. And Lord, I thank you. I don't see it yet, but I go ahead and give you thanks right now because I'm going to focus on your goodness instead of the badness that I could be focusing on. Is anybody with me here? Paul said in Colossians 2:7, be rooted and built up in Him, abounding with thanksgiving. Thankful people, unthankful people, are playing a movie script in their mind that's the wrong script. They're playing the wrong memories in their mind. Thankful people are playing the right memories in their mind. And I'm telling you, an unthankful person, if you listen to them and buy into that, they can really wreck the flow of faith and miracles in your life. They can really wreck the flow of faith and miracles in your life because they're playing the wrong movie script all the time. I personally believe what you're thankful for starts multiplying in your life. What you're thankful for starts multiplying. It's like a law of attraction happens. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. Which brings me to the next way to live a thankful life, and I had to work on this one, and that is you got to recognize unthankfulness as a sin. What are you talking about? Are you serious? I'm going to tell you, you got to recognize unthankfulness as a sin in your life that needs to get out. Okay, listen, Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Edification means building. It's where we get the term edifice. It means to build up. So is what I'm speaking now building up the situation and the people, or am I using my language to tear down someone? And often we have a false concept in our minds, and that is, if I can tear down someone and make them smaller, it will somehow make me look bigger. Amen. That never works. Because in the long run, what you've done is you've shown your immaturity and your unthankfulness. And by tearing somebody else down, that you've actually degraded yourself to. It's like you put a bumper sticker on a Rolls Royce. It just doesn't work. I don't know where that came from, but it was a shot at it. So what do? Cry out to God and ask for forgiveness. Repent of it. Get it out. Ask for forgiveness and say, Lord, forgive me for being unthankful. Because believe me, I already had to deal with this week. I worked through it my own. God, there have been many times I've been unthankful. I think back over my language sometimes and I think, oh, man, how unthankful I have been at certain times. Lord, help us. Because thankfulness is part of being a follower of Jesus. Ungratefulness is a sin that is a root of other sins in your life. Notice in Romans chapter 1, when Paul talks about man and how he fell and he cascaded downward into to the place of being a reprobate, Paul calls him. God created man, and then he recreates people in his image to worship him, okay? There's a book called The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment where a guy named Jeremiah Burroughs writes this. He says, worship is not only doing what pleases God, but is also being pleased with what God does. So worship is not just pleasing God, but it's also being pleased with what he's doing and has done in your life. And so worship then takes delight in giving thanks for everything. Giving thanks for everything. And then we develop a worshiper's heart, because in Romans chapter 1, Paul gives this comprehensive detail of human sin and God's condemnation of that. And he says, no person is excluded because all have sinned, and no shade of sin is left out, from covetousness to malice, from envy to murder, from gossip to slander, from hating God to disobeying parents, from the rebellious to the self-righteous, from doing evil to inventing evil, and from committing sin to approving of those who commit sin. All in that first chapter of Romans. And he said, at the root of it all, however, it was humanity's failure to honor God as God and give him the proper thanks. And Paul said, because humanity didn't give God thanks and the proper honor, humanity fell into a cycle of sin and total deprivation. Oh, hallelujah. Because ingratitude is really a rejection of God. It's a rejection of him as creator. It's a rejection of him as ruler. It's a rejection of him as the giver of life. It's the rejection of God who gives every blessing. Paul could rejoice when he wrote the Philippians from prison. He could rejoice from prison and give God thanks. Hallelujah. Somebody say, wow. He could rejoice from prison and give God thanks, because his joy wasn't dependent upon his circumstance. His joy was much deeper. It had been given as a fruit of the Spirit through the atonement of Christ on the cross, and no man could touch that joy. Come on, say it with me. The joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Somebody shout hallelujah. So let's pause right now. Pray with me. Father, we repent of having an unthankful attitude. And I repent of that. I get it out of my life now. Pray you cleanse me in the blood of Jesus. Replace it with joy and thankfulness. Can somebody shout amen? Third thing you need to do to develop a life of thanksgiving is you need to stop discussing things that do not build others up. You need to stop talking about stuff that doesn't build others up. This hits every one of us in this room. You need to sometimes, you're going to have to withdraw to some extent from contentious and unthankful people. I mean, because unthankful people require fuel. And they want to spread their misery, because misery loves. Because if you can't, being miserable by yourself is not good enough. You got to bring somebody else into it. Misery loves company. And the Bible teaches us against this. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company corrupts good habits. Proverbs 26:21, as charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. An unthankful, contentious person complains about everything. They walk in with a bundle of kindling wood. They start throwing it on the fire. And they'll bring it down. But that's not the life of the New Testament born-again Christian. The life of the New Testament born-again Christian is giving thanks for all things. to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul said. So sometimes just your positive attitude and your unwillingness to engage in that kind of conversation, sometimes that alone will bring the necessary conviction to shut down that conversation. By your lack of buy-in, you can tell them something's wrong with the direction of this conversation. I'm not going there. I'm not going there. It's just the same in healing, same in prosperity. Don't go, just do not go there. You know, you're getting older, Brother Hans. Well, so what? I'm thankful. Hallelujah. I'm thankful. Hallelujah. I'm thankful. Hallelujah. Older I get, the wiser I'm getting. Hallelujah. More I'm learning. The more I want to learn, the more I want to read, the more I want to talk to people who've done great things in life, the more I want to share the blessings of God. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. You don't have to get old and say, well, that's it. I'm on the backside of 30. It's my country music upbringing in the hill. No, hallelujah. We're constantly going up to Mount Zion. Hallelujah. We're the church of the firstborn. We grow wiser. About 14 of y'all believe that. I think the rest of you need to get a hold of it and give me a little bit of shout back right now. Just shut that conversation down by not engaging in it. You know? Just. So what do we need to do right now? Fourth thing is we need to focus on the wonderful blessings we have right now. We need to focus on the wonderful blessings. Listen what Psalm says, Psalm 68, 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us down with benefits. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. So unthankfulness and a complaining spirit can blind you to the daily blessings God has placed in your life. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, I wrestled with this statement this week, but I read, someone said, loss is the best cure for unthankfulness. God will just simply take away something you're not thankful for. I don't know that I'm fully with that, but I thought it was powerful enough to read and let you think about it. I don't want to be unthankful and lose out on something because I'm not thankful for. I'm thankful for everything the Lord has done for me, everything in my life that God has provided, everything I'm believing Him for, all the beautiful friends. I came in here this morning and I thought, man, this is it. I get to worship with my people. Amen. We get to worship with our people. We get to worship with our family this morning, and it's absolutely awesome. Amen. And then we hit that gratitude song, and I saw all of y'all giving some gratitude back to the Father this morning. And I was like, this is the right crowd to be among right now. People who are grateful to be here, grateful we're living, grateful we're seen and not viewed. Amen. Some of y'all will get that later. Hallelujah. So what do you need to do? You need to thank God. James says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. So you need to thank God for what He has done for you. Look back and just thank Him from where you came from. Look back and think of how many times He spared your life, how many times He rescued you, how many times you could have been gone. You could have OD'd. You could have crashed that car. You could have been shot. You could have drowned. I can think in my own life, I'm thankful to be here right now. I thank God back to when He came and talked to me on a hospital bed and put conviction into my heart. And I came to a cross, hallelujah, where He had died 2,000 years ago, and I gave my life to Jesus, and everything changed in my life. Hallelujah. I'm still living in the blessing, and I'm still thankful for that. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for every time he's healed me, when he baptized me in the Holy Ghost, every time I felt the Spirit of God move. I'm thankful for every gift he's placed in my life. I'm thankful for every contact I've been able to make in the kingdom. I'm thankful for every soul I've seen come to Christ. I'm thankful for every person I've seen baptized in the Holy Ghost and moving the gifts of the Spirit. I'm thankful for what we've been able to do. Come on, can you just pick one thing and say, Lord, I give you thanks right now for that thing in my life. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And if you can thank him for what he has done, you can also thank him for what he's going to do in your life. Because I'm telling you, I believe there's biblical precedent for this, that we can thank God not just for what he's done in the past, like Israel would always honor God every year for the Passover and for the Feast of Tabernacles and all that stuff, the Feast of the Harvest, but also they could look forward to what God was getting ready to do in their lives. Can we do that as well? Absolutely, we can do that. Listen, the psalmist said, Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He's speaking in future tense. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Come on, how many of you can raise your hand and say, God, I thank you for what you're getting ready to do in my life. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I thank God for the breakthroughs that are getting ready to come. I thank God for what he's got on the other side of the door of our obedience. I thank God for what he's got on the other side of the door of our faith as we walk through into higher heights and deeper depths of what the Father's going to do in our lives. Let me tell you something. If you believe in the Lord and you have faith in your heart, your best days are in front of you. Come on, go ahead and look at somebody and say, my best days are in front of me. Come on, say it to somebody else till you believe it. My best days are out in front of me. Oh, hallelujah! Come on. My best days are in front of me in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You know, it takes faith. We had a family member come and live in my house years ago who was an alcoholic, and he was dying with cirrhosis of the liver. Bless him, Jesus. And he came to live with me, and I'd known him since we'd both been alive, and we're very close. And he came to live with me, and one of the things I noticed is that addiction to alcohol and the situation he had found himself in robbed him, had taken away, had stolen from him any hope for the future. It had really stolen any hope for the better tomorrow. And he got saved, alcohol addiction broken, and he got baptized in the Holy Spirit 7 days after that. And what I noticed was that hope started coming back. Little by little, he started talking about the future. I'm like, yes. Because what the enemy wants to do is come and bind you up to where you can't see any further than your nose. He wants to bind you up to where you can't see any further than the current problem you're in. But when hope comes, hallelujah. Bible says when desire comes, it's a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when that faith comes and lights you up inside, then all of a sudden hope is breathed back in you. I can do it. God's going to meet me tomorrow morning. I'm going to wake up to a better future in my life. Things are going to turn around for me and my family in Jesus' name. One day at a time, God's going to take me from glory to glory. Think about this. Think about the life of Jonah. If you've never read the book of Jonah, read it this week. It's very short. And in the book of Jonah, Jonah was a prophet, and God spoke to him and said, go to the arch enemy of Israel, go to their capital kingdom and prophesy destruction. Well, they had persecuted Israel. They had been brutal on the battlefield and their tactics. And Jonah's like, No thanks. So he should have gone east into what would be modern day Iraq, basically. But instead, he got a boat on the Mediterranean to sail him out to the beaches of Spain. And once he got out there in the sea, God started moving and shaking the waters and stirring things up to get the attention of the prophet. And the men in the boat knew something bad was going on. And so finally they drew lots as to who would have to be thrown overboard. And guess what? The lot came to God's man. And he was the one to be thrown overboard. And so Jonah was cast into the sea. And you know, the Sunday school pictures we have of that are of a whale coming up and breaching the water and swallowing him right as he jumps out. But that's not what the Bible says happened. The Bible says, Jonah said, I went down to the depths and I was wrapped in seaweed. Some believe he actually died. But at that point, when he was in the depths, surrounded in the caverns of the deep, seaweed wrapped around him, there he cried out to the Lord. And what did he say? I will sacrifice. Lord, you get me back. I'm paying my tithe.
I'm telling you.
It's a done deal. I'm catching up on all of that. You get me back. I'm going to praise like Joey praises. Hallelujah. I'm going to get on the front row and dance and shout. Don't care what anybody thinks. You get me back to the temple. I'm going to be the most faithful man in that building. Hallelujah. He made a vow paying forward in thanksgiving what he believed God would do in his life. And you know what? I believe it's at that point. He said, I will sacrifice. I will pay what I have vowed. And he's given thanks to God from the depths of the sea. And I believe then, the whale got him. Spit him up on the shores. Can you imagine what he looked like? You think about it. A man coming back from the depths of the sea, spit up on the shores, seaweed, whatever, all around him. And what does he do? He says, well, let's go to Nineveh. I've got a prophetic message to give. And he walks into the city and declares the word of the Lord. If he didn't clean up before he got there. But a vow of praise brought Jonah out of the belly of the whale. A vow of thanksgiving brought him out of a death situation. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. What am I saying? Listen, thanksgiving is so powerful. We've established that. It's powerful psychologically. It's powerful in social settings, and it's powerful biblically. It taps into that joy reservoir in your heart. But I'm telling you, when you begin praising him for what's getting ready to come, then faith gets in it. Your faith gets in it. And that thanksgiving rides the wings of faith right to the throne room of God, and God honors faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hallelujah. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. So you come to God in faith and saying, Lord, I give you praise in advance for what you're getting ready to do. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, come on, shout hallelujah. I'm going to give him praise in advance for what he's going to do in my life. How many, come on, stand with me. How many of y'all have children that need to be saved? Or family members that need to be saved? Come on, there's more than that out there. Let me see your hand. You got family members you want to see come to the Lord? You know what? Have you ever tried? I know you're praying for them, right? Yes. So God has heard that prayer. That prayer is established as a memorial in heaven. So how about now let's shift into the gear of thanking him for what he's going to do in bringing those family members in. Can we be that bold? Can we be that audacious? Go ahead and lift your hand and just let your voice rise and say, Lord, I thank you right now for what you're going to do. I thank you, Lord, right now by faith, seeing all my family come in. I thank you by faith, God, for what you're getting ready to do in my family in the name of Jesus. God, give me the words to say. Give me the opportunity. Give me the open door, Lord. Hallelujah. And I give you praise in advance in Jesus' name. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. Come on, we've been talking about finances for the last 3 weeks. If you've not listened to the last two Wednesday night meetings on YouTube or Facebook, go back and listen to them. We get down brass tacks with Emily and Eddie on how you should get out of debt and how you need to do a budget and all that brass tacks type of stuff. How many of you want to be debt free? How many of y'all want to be debt free? How many of you believe it's possible? Sometimes people get so down, like I described my family member. They get so down they can't see they can't see God's preferred future for them. Well, I'm here to tell you there is a better future. There's a better day. Hallelujah. So why not let's just extend our faith right now in Jesus' name toward that day. Come on, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you've given us wisdom and knowledge. And now we pray that we become obedient to what we need to do. And that we obey you and do the steps we need to do. And God, we know that you're going to meet us. And I thank you that one day we will be debt free in Jesus' name. And one day we will have this finance issue settled in our lives in the name of Jesus. Hey, it's such an honor to have you join us for service. I pray the word was a blessing to you, and I pray you avail yourselves to the resources we have online. And if you're ever in the Elizabeth City area, or I mean Outer Banks or Tidewater, Virginia, make the drive. Come visit us one Sunday. We would love to welcome you here, and you can experience this yourself. As one man used to say, can't be explained, can only be experienced. There's some truth into that. Anyhow, thank you for watching. I pray the Lord will bless you and that you grow in your faith and fulfill the call that God has on your life. We here at Fountain of Life love you.